I have a subject that I want to talk to you today about. I want to talk to you about Mother's Day. And when you put those two words together, I know that probably everyone in here has a thought goes through your mind. It's a day marked on a calendar, and that's not today. I missed it. But you know, really, it's kind of like Thanksgiving Day. If you put those two words together, immediately your mind goes to the calendar and it's a day in November. But you know, really, those days are really only intended to bring it to the surface again so that we remember the value of those things. In just a few weeks, it'll be Father's Day. I think it's not intended for it to be just one day, but for it to be a reminder to us. And that's what I want to talk to you today about, is that it's a reminder to us of the blueprint that God made for a family. We have some here that have not been married long, some that have been married a long time, some that maybe will be married in the future. And it is real good in the day and time that we're living in to go back to the blueprint and see what God set up for family. There's a song that we sing, "We Will Work for Jesus and Adore the Plan That Exalteth So a Fallen Race." You know what? The family plan that God set up exalts a fallen race. People that living out in sin and are not able to do better, that we, by the life we live in our families, would be able to be a hand extended to them to show the pattern that God has. There are many times in the New Testament that Jesus, when he was speaking to the people, he would talk to them in parables. And he would tell them a story about something that we can see literally. And with that, he would try to draw a spiritual picture for them. I'd like to do that this morning. I'd like to talk to you about the master plan. You know, there are a lot of building projects, and they begin with a plan. There are sometimes people will show me, maybe a farmer or something, he got a thought in his mind, I'd like to build a shed. And you know, usually even before he does it though, maybe it's just written on the back of a paper sack, but he'll draw out something to show size and how he wants to do it. I remember last year the tabernacle at Monarch. You know, it seemed like a simple plan. It's just a metal building that you need to put up. But that manufacturer had a set of specifications that went with that. Here's what you need to put in the ground to be able to support this kind. I looked at the holes that were dug to fill with concrete, maybe 3 foot around and several feet deep, and I thought, wait a minute, this is just a metal building that's sitting on it. But you know what? Someone had done some work to calculate if the wind hits this at a certain rate or whatever, you need to have this to be able to support it. You know what? It's the same way in our families. There needs to be some foundation laid and built on, because the storms are coming. So on that Monarch building, they sent a set of plans. And that in that set of plans, it showed that it's about 150 feet from this foot of the main structure to this one. And there are maybe, it might have been 8 holes in the plate that is going to be put on the concrete. You know, that thing was pretty critical where you've set the bolts that are going to come up out of the floor. They gave you exactly the inches you put it to this point, because when that comes, you're going to set these on and it's got to be fastened together. That was done with a set of blueprints. And it got me to thinking about where I work. There's 2 office buildings put together. One is 16 stories and one is 21 stories. And today I get to look at the blueprints that they gave the contractors that were going to build that building. And I look at all the detail in it, and sometimes to me it's, why do you have to put that much detail? But it's not just a few pages, it fills part of a room with the plans that it took to be able to build that. And it adjoins a building next to us. Their wall, their outer wall, is our inner wall. And the dentist that I go to was there when that building was being built. And he said that right outside his wall, they were driving piles in the ground, taking them down to bedrock to where it would be able to support this building. And he said it would shake his office so much that the contractors came in and they put a seismic meter on the wall to be able to check and see, are we shaking this building too much? And he said to show that it was shaking it too much, said one day it got to shaking so much that it knocked the meter off the wall, fell on the floor. And it was, these pillars have got to go down. You know, we hear this story about being built on the sand. That building looked good until the storm came. You know, there is no reason to drive steel down in the ground if there's not, you know, it'll still look good until the storm comes. And so I looked at all the supports, all the things that were put in that you never see. And that was just one set of plans. That was the structural. And then it came down to another set of plans. Okay, we've got the building built. But there's a lot of things that have to go together in this building. And so I've got a set of mechanical plans. In that mechanical plans, it's got to be the plumbing, the air conditioning, the electrical. And those fans where at your house, you may have an air conditioner that is blowing out vents, and it might be 1,200 cubic feet a minute. Well, at work, this is fan rooms, maybe 75 foot long. And one set of fans that delivers air in the building is 150,000 CFM. So just one of the ducts that goes from that fan is 10 foot wide and 3 foot tall. Somebody designed that building to be able to put that duct in there and still be able to do plumbing and electrical. It was all back there in the master plan at the beginning. But there's something that happened there. Those plans are very important. You know, when they finished it, they gave a set of plans to the people that are going to be taking care of the building out in the future. It would be easy to say, we don't need the plans, it's finished now, and throw them away. But I find that 34 years later, I have to go back to that set of plans. I've had times where I've got trouble on a floor. Somehow they're not getting air conditioning. What is the problem? So I go back to the plans I've already checked and can't find it. Go back to the plans and I find out there's a fire damper installed back in this wall. And I go to it and the fire link has broken. You know, without those plans, we would be in a lot of trouble. So the plans were given. But there's something else that happened. The architect that drew those up was a human. And at the very best that he could do, saying, you know what, this, I'll pop a ceiling tile on the ground floor and look up. And those ducts are put so close together that you could hardly put your hand between them. And somebody drew it up that you'll be able to do all this. But then I found out that there was continually the plans were adjusted because something still was forgotten because it was a human that did it. And so at the end of it all, when the building was completed, and this set of plans now, after all the revisions has been done, this set of plans is complete. They stamped it. It said it's as built. Well, here's what I want to tell you about is when the God of heaven came up with a master plan for a family, he didn't ever have to do a revision. It is still the same as what he said it would be in Genesis 1. It still is the same today, and if the earth goes on for another 1,000 years, it'll still be the same. He will not have to say, okay, we're in the year 2018 now, and there's a lot of people wanting things different, so I'm going to make a revision to the plan. No, he doesn't make a revision to it. What he says is that if I will follow the plan, if I will build my life according to the plan, he's even will put a guarantee with it. This is not just a guarantee for the mother, for the father. You know, sometimes we say, okay, there's a day for the mother, there's a day for the father. And sometimes we have the children say, well, when did the children get a day? And what mom and dad told us was, you got every one of the rest of them. All the rest of them are for the children. But you know what? For the whole family, there's a promise when you follow this plan that he laid out. I want to sing two verses. I'd like for you to sing it with me. This is the promise that goes along with this set of plans. How safe is the soul that abides in the Lord, securely from sin hid away. His anchor, the promise of God's written word, to keep him by night and by day. That wicked one toucheth him not. That wicked one toucheth him not. He keepeth himself in the love of the Lord, and that wicked one toucheth not. How firm the foundation upon which he builds, a structure to glorify God. How wondrous the power of the Savior that shields from all the vile tempter's dark flood. That wicked one toucheth him not. That wicked one toucheth him not. He keepeth himself in the love of the Lord, and that wicked one toucheth him not. That song is a promise to the individual that follows God's plan. This song is a promise to the family that follows God's plan. There's a scripture that says, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. You know, it's not enough just to have a knowledge of what the plan says, but that I'm following what the plan says. Has man over years made any revisions to the plans? He sure has. But you know what? That doesn't change the as-built set of plans that God has given. It was clear back in Moses' time. You remember it says in Matthew 19:8, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning, it was not so. From the beginning, God's set of plans for a family, a set for the father. There's instruction given throughout the Word of God for the father to make this successful. There's a set given for the mother to make it successful. And then, you know, there's a set given for the children to be able to have success together in a family. And I was thinking about a verse in Ephesians 4. Fourth chapter of Ephesians, because it's when you put the whole package together. I was looking at this verse and thinking of it with this family subject. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. By that which every joint supplieth. There's a part for each one of us to be able to play. You know, we understand that this plan says, this pattern, this blueprint says that the husband is intended to be the head of the home. And you know, we have seen so many examples where the husband takes that and says, I've got to take care of this verse right here. And so I'm going to be the head of the home. But there's another verse that to me comes right along beside it, just like this one, from whom the whole body fitly joined together by what every joint supplieth. It says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't have need of you. From the very beginning in this set of blueprints that God gave for a family, he let man start out by himself for a little bit. And then he said, it's not good for him to be alone. It's almost like he said, you know what? He's going to run himself into a lot of trouble. He needs a helpmeet. And that's when he provided a wife for him. I thought about this example of the set of plans at work. The building looks great. The windows are in. They've even got the air conditioning and the ductwork in. But you know what? You can't leave one component out. They've even got the motor set there for to run the fans and cool the building. But you know what? If you don't get electric to it, soon in the summertime, people won't even think about how beautiful the building is. It's going to take every part of it. I think about the verse in the song that says, every word thy mouth has spoken is essential to our life. Every mandate love betoken, to oppose it is but strife. for me to go through and see the family plan that God has. I've got to be able to take it all in. And you know what? There's a part for every person in the family to be able to make it a whole and make it run smoothly. People build have a set of house plans. And so often when the contractor starts building it, you will see somebody. It's so easy when you look at that building and it's only the studs standing up, just the wood frame, that you look at that and say, that house is way too small. And how many times somebody will come to it and say, the people that are going to buy it come and say, I want this changed. I need that changed. While you can still make that 2 foot wider, or how much would it cost to be able to make the adjustments in it? Revisions to the plan. You know what? God at the beginning made a set of plans, and He's never had to change it. In the beginning, God created. And He said, let us make man. And then He says, not good that a man should be alone. And so He made a helpmeet for him, a man and a wife. And you know what? There was a few years ago that we would have never even thought that would be contested. I remember in September of 1996, when the president then made this a law. He said, it's called the DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act. And what it did was it proclaimed that a marriage will be recognized only to be between a man and a woman. I thought, wait, what are we having to put that into law for? They must be running out of something to do up there in Washington. You know what? That was 96, 22 years ago. Just a few years ago, that same president was joining up with many other people to say we need to strike that law down. What I want to tell you, young people, and all of us older ones alike, is what God has made as a plan, it'll never be changed. Man can come along and say, oh no, we're in 2018 now, this will work. I want to tell you, there's a lot of trouble comes with making an adjustment to God's plan. We're seeing a lot of the trouble from it today. But society is not willing to say it's because we left the plan. We're trying to blame other things on it. There's something that we need to remember, and it's in Romans, the 3rd chapter. Because we're getting pressure around us to start accepting some of the things that are happening around us. But here is a verse that I'd like for us to always keep in mind. It's in the 3rd chapter and in the 3rd verse. What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Because there are some that say, that is old teaching, we're going to do something new now. Should that change my faith in God and His blueprint for a family? This next verse in the 4th verse, God forbid. Let God be true, but every man a liar. That's why I think it's very important for us sometime, don't just wait for Mother's Day or Father's Day, but for us sometime to review the plan, the blueprint that God has for a family. Because it's what's going to be safe for us. Because here's how far we can go as a society. Recently, this was published in the news. It said, it's been proven that not only is a home where two married men are raising the children equal to that of a husband and wife, but it can often excel it in the care of the children. And as I read that, I said, wait a minute, who wrote that article? Where'd that come from? Let me stop reading this article and go down to the bottom of it and see who was the editor. And it said it was the Gay Rights Advocacy Group. Now, I just look at that one subject, and I have to say, two of me cannot raise my children as good as my wife and I can. And let me give you a little bit of example. It's because in this blueprint that God made, He put something within a woman that a man has a little bit of, but not near as much. It's called natural affection. It causes Cheryl to get real worried about the children of maybe they'll drown if they're out swimming. And I say, well, I'll pull them out if it looks like they're going under. It causes a mother to be real concerned that the child maybe will fall out of that limb of the tree. And the dad says, well, he'll learn not to go up that high. But, you know, those kind of things. A scratch that a child will get and starts crying. I have compassion. I let them cry for a little bit, and then I say, that's enough. Stop that crying now. It's going to be all right. Whereas the wife, with that natural affection, you know what? That is part of the blueprint. It was part of what, and for anybody to be able to say two men be able to do it as good or better, forget that. They've left the plan. Where Cheryl would take them with the bruise and dandle them and talk to them and cuddle them and maybe even give it a kiss. Natural affection that goes to a much deeper level than a father has. God also, within the blueprint, he put a part for the man and he put a part for the woman. And you know what? Both, if either of them get out of place, it causes a problem for the rest of it to be able to function well. You know, right in the beginning of time, in Genesis 3 and 19, God said that man is going to be the one to be the provider for the home. He said, by the sweat of your face shall you eat bread. From the very beginning, God laid out the guidelines for a successful home. In 1 Timothy 5 and 8, it says, if a man doesn't provide for his own, he hath denied the faith, and he's worse than an infidel. So I take those verses and I say, you know what? That's instruction for me to do my part to make this blueprint work like it says it will. There's another verse in 1 Timothy in the 5th chapter. It gives some instruction where that one that we just read in the 8th verse was instruction for the man. Then it goes on down in the, it gives instruction for the wife to be able to fulfill her part. You know what? For her to fulfill her part, I've got to be doing mine. Because here's her part. 1 Timothy, 5th chapter, and the 14th verse. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. You know what? This is part of the blueprint. When we get outside what the blueprint says to do, then we see all the troubles that are happening in our society. Guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. You know, when everything in my building is working like it was designed, the electric is there. You know, we have times when everything is ready to work perfect, and then OG&E calls and says, we're going to have to shut down power. You know what? The lights go out. The air conditioning quits. We have to evacuate everybody. The elevators quit. That was only one little part. But it was a big part. And that one part left out causes a problem with the whole. It's the same way with the blueprint that God has given for families. It tells us that women need to love the children. You know, we're living in a time where natural affection is being lost in a mother. You know, it should be, and it was God-given, that a mother would be willing to die for her child. You know, somehow the blueprint for a family has changed. Yes. It's a woman's right to abort her child. Romans, the first chapter, tells us we can come to a place where it's without natural affection. What I want to tell us is, right in the middle of all the things that we see around us, we don't need to be disturbed by them. Understand them, see what they are, but then go back to the blueprint and see how valuable it is for us today. Because here's what the scripture says for us in Psalms 127 is a verse, Psalms 127 and 3. Look at how God looks at it. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. No matter what the world should say around us about abortion, God still says, children are a heritage of the Lord. We find a place in 2 Timothy that kind of tells us about the time that we're living in. And what I find from this is, I want this message to not be disturbing to us. We already see it around us. But to be able to find consolation that, you know what, in the middle of this, if I build according to the pattern, I can have success. 2 Timothy, the third chapter, it gives us a picture of the time that we're living in. This know also that in the last days that perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. You know, this is where we are in America today. That's the reason for abortion. Lovers of my own self first. And then it says, without natural affection. But you know what? For us today, right in the middle of it all, I am so thankful that with the blueprint, we can have success. Proverbs, fourth chapter. Proverbs 4 and 18. The path of the just is as a shining light. It shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And I see this blueprint that God has given us, it can get just brighter and brighter as I and my family follow that. There is a secret, I believe, to making this blueprint to be successful. It is in Philippians, the second chapter, and the third verse. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That works in a congregation, that works on the job, and that works in the home. Let each esteem other greater than themselves. And then there is one more. You remember it was saying that the husband is the head of the home, and I need to lead by example. So here is one for me. This Ephesians, the fifth chapter. As men, we can find the scriptures that tell that the wife, in this 22nd, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. But then the 25th verse tells us how that can be made easier to do. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it will fall into the ground and die, it can bring forth much fruit. So just like Christ gave of himself, I need to be willing to show an example in my home of giving of myself. I look back at my parents' home. Dad showed me an example of giving. He had muscular dystrophy, was never as healthy as other men could have been, as other men were, and he could have been. But you know, it crippled him. But it didn't stop him. He could have probably said, you know, poor me. I don't have what others have, so I have nothing that I can give. But instead, he would be out doing what he could, first of all, for us. In fact, I still remember the day that he did something for us. Mansell and I had two bicycles. And within the 6 hours that we were at school, Dad wanted to do something for us. So he cut those two bicycles apart and he welded them together. And when we got home, there was a bicycle built for two. We were surprised. And for a little bit, we liked it. But you know, like children do, there's times when we don't get along. And I'd really rather my bicycle could go this way and I get away from him. But instead, I'm back here riding behind him if I want to go somewhere. But that was what Dad would do. He would be looking, what can I do for others? Some of the best memories I have in life are of the old school buses. Of him spending time fixing it up so that when we get out of school for the summer, we would all as a family travel the United States going to camp meetings. We started out 1 year, went from Louisiana to the meeting in South Carolina, and then up to a meeting in Kentucky, and then across the United States to California. And we didn't know about, there weren't seat belts back then, but it was even worse than that with us. While we're traveling, it's time to eat. So Mom starts supper back on the stove. She's got something, spaghetti or something, going along with boiling hot water, and we're sitting in the seat in front of it, not thinking a thing about it. The Lord had mercy on us back then. But I just thought about those kind of times gave us some wonderful memories. You know how they came about? Because somebody was willing to sacrifice. Both have to be willing to give. You know, nothing has changed. It's still the same for us today. That we all, as a family unit, be willing to give of ourselves. The best example that I can think of that, you may have had it happen in your home before. Depending on what kind of water you have in your well, or sometimes even from the city, the minerals in it will cause your water tank, the water heater, to be corroded and eaten out and have to be replaced. So the manufacturer came up with something called a sacrificial anode. We buy them for our camper water heaters. It's a magnesium rod that you screw into a port on that tank, and you're supposed to change it out every so often. So I put one in, and a few years later I take it out to see if it's really even done anything or if it's a hoax, and it's almost completely gone, because that's why it got its name, a sacrificial anode, because the magnesium is what attracts the chemicals in the water, and it takes it instead of the tank corroded. I'm not here to tell you about water heaters, but I want to tell you about our home. For it to be successful, it will take me first, giving of myself. See, we're living in a time where if I don't like what's happening in my life, it's a woman's right to take a baby's life. And now they want to tell you it's just the same for two men to marry and two women to marry each other. We're living in those times, but just like the song that was sung before this, let me touch him, yes, so that others will be able to see and be blessed. That song applies to what we're talking about today. Lord, let me touch you. Lord, give me a set of your blueprints. The blueprints are right here. They have always been, they always will be. The only thing that's needed is my obedience to it. And I will find then that down inside are all the secrets that I need for a successful home. And it begins with me doing what Christ did. He loved the church, and he gave himself for it. May each of us not just see Mother's Day as one day, or Father's Day as one day, but that it's only a reminder to me to go back to the master plan. Yes. Take a look at it. It still guarantees 100% success if I will obey it. I desire your prayers.